Well, good morning, everyone. I want to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to get some practice in on you guys. Before we get going, though, let's open with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this day and just the freedom that we have here as we're able to gather and worship. I do ask that you bless my message here. Let it encourage and strengthen those in you, and just give me the strength to carry through and deliver it edifyingly. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, so this morning we are going to be in Joshua chapter 2, so if you will turn there with me, and I will be reading from the King James Bible, and let's go ahead and read this passage. Joshua chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy out secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went out and came to the harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came three men hither tonight to search the children of Israel out of the land." And the king of Jericho said unto Rahab, "Bring forth the men that are come unto thee, which are entered in thy house, for they have come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were." And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out whither not the men had went and wot, but they pursued them quickly, "For ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them unto the roof of her house, and hid them within the stalks of flax, which were laid in the corner of the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of the Jordan, even unto the fjords. And as soon as they that which pursued them were gone out, they shut the gate. And they were laid down, and she came upon them on the roof. And she said unto them, "I know that the Lord your God hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord had dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye did come out of Egypt, and that ye did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, which ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man, because of you, your Lord your God. He is the God of heaven above and earth beneath. Now therefore I pray unto you, swear unto me by the Lord, since you have showed your kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, that you will save alive my father, my mother, and my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life is yours, for if you utter not this business, then it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, we will deal kindly and truly with thee." And she let them down by a cord of the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you out to the mountains, lest your pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward ye may go your way." And the men said unto her, "We are which blameless of this oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into this land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread by the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house of the street, his body shall put ye upon his head, and we will be guiltless. But whosoever shall be with thee in thine house, his blood shall be upon our head, if anyone go upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. So the title of my message is From Prostitute to Proselyte. Rahab was a prostitute, a sinner. She was a wicked person, but we are going to look at five aspects of that brought her to salvation. So would you risk your life to save someone who you got to be your enemy? One of Hitler's greatest generals, Erwin Rommel, he spent time in the front lines with his soldiers. And this was very uncommon for generals of that day. But he was even in combat situations where artillery was dropping around. But he captured many people. And Hitler had ordered that all Jewish prisoners be executed. Erwin Rommel, at the risk of potentially being put to death or losing his position, he ignored this command because it was wrong, and he was a Christian, and he knew killing Jews was wrong. Rahab did this also. She didn't only risk her own life, but the life of her family. So we are going to look at the first aspect, which is conviction, which leads towards action. So in verses 4 through 8, in verses 15 and 16, we see the actions of Rahab. We see how she provided lodging. These men were obviously strangers and stuck out. Maybe she saw them as customers of herself, but maybe she was being convicted by God to do the right thing and save his people. She hid them from the authorities. She risked her family, her life. This could have been her entire livelihood, just lost because of her conviction. James 1, chapter 22 tells us, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." It's so simple. It basically means put your money where your mouth is. Rahab had been convinced of what to do, and she believed it was right, and she did it. And then finally, in verses 15 and 16, she helped them escape. So action is something very important in our lives. Without action, nothing will get accomplished. In the Civil War, General Jackson, during his famous Valley campaign, needed to cross a river. His entire army had been halted because of this river, and all the bridges had been destroyed. So he told his engineers and his wagon master that they needed to get a bridge built. So his engineers immediately went and started designing a bridge. His wagon master realized the urgency of the situation, so he started piling logs and bricks and all sorts of stuff in the river, and he made a makeshift bridge. And then, before the dawn of the next day, he had got the entire army across and all the artillery, and he came to report General Jackson that it had been done. General Jackson asked, "Where are the engineers?" And the wagon master said, "They're still in their tent designing the bridge." You see, if we just say we do something, nothing will get accomplished. So Rahab, in her action, put her money where her mouth was. So James chapter 2, verse 26 tells us, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Works don't save us, but they help show where our heart is towards God. So the next aspect we will look for salvation is belief. James chapter 2, verse 25 tells us also that Rahab was not justified by her works, but she received the messengers in faith and sent them out another way. So we see how belief is necessary for salvation. In verses 9 and 11 we read, "And she said to them, I know, I believe that the Lord has given you this land, and that your terrors fall upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the Red Sea, and when you came out of Egypt, and what did you to the king of Egypt, and how you did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of the Jordan, Sidon and Og. And we had heard these things, and your hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage." So she believed in the power of the Hebrew God. The people had heard the stories of the Exodus and how Egypt had fallen to its knees. They had lost their army because of the power of the Hebrews. She knew that the Lord had given them the land. And this was the first evidence of us seeing her coming to the Lord. John chapter 6, verse 44 says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which sent him draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day." So we see that the Lord had been drawing Rahab, and her belief was showing evidence of this. She also believed that there would be certain death if they opposed him. The Israelites had not yet begun the conquest, but there was a few minor skirmishes between now and then, and this had put their fear upon their enemies. The men alone in this camp were over 2 million, and easily half of them were a fighting force, so this was the largest army in the world at the time. So anyone who opposed them would certainly face death. So one day when John Wesley was talking with a troubled man who was doubting the goodness of God, he said, "I don't know what to do with all this worry and trouble in my life." Mr. Wesley pointed to a cow behind a stone wall, and he said, "Do you know why that cow is looking over the wall?" The man said, "I don't." "The cow is looking over the wall because he can't see through it. That's what you must do with your wall of trouble, and look over it." and avoid it. Faith, belief, helps us to look past our circumstances and focus on God. Rahab had a wall, literally, that she couldn't see through. God helped her, by faith, over this wall. Trusting God will always result in what's better for us. So the next aspect we see of Rahab's faith is asking. Romans chapter 10 tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So in verses 12 and 13 we read, "Now therefore I pray unto you, swear by the name of your Lord." She's asking by the power of God. She's not asking God directly, but she's asking the ambassadors of the Lord. "Since you have showed your kindness, since I have showed you kindness, I ask that you show kindness into my father's house and give me a true token, that you will save alive my father and my mother, and my brother, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver us from death." So she had asked for physical salvation. Now we can parallel this with us in our spiritual salvation. We can always ask God. He is listening at all times, and He will surely grant us our request. Not only did she ask for her own salvation, though, she asked for the physical deliverance of her family. They had helped her with this endeavor and rescued the spies as well. Asking is essential. That's the only thing we have to do, is ask and believe the Lord. There was once a boy named Patrick who wanted a watch from his parents, and he continually bothered them all day long until one day they said, "Enough, we're not getting you a watch, so stop asking." The next day at dinner time, he was asked to pray, and he asked if he could quote a Bible verse, and he quoted Mark chapter 13:37, and "What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." So we don't need to badger God. God will answer our requests if we ask in faith in His time. Rahab's immediate need was the life of her family and her own. And God graciously granted her needs, and He can do the same for you. So all we have to do is ask the Lord, and He will grant for what we need. Call upon the name of the Lord, and we will receive our salvation. The next aspect we see in her path to salvation is God's truth. When God promises something, He will always make it come into effect. 1 John 1:9 tells us, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So, the spies had promised Rahab salvation, physical salvation. God promises us salvation if we ask on Him. In verse 17 and 21, we see this come out. "Now, once we have believed, we can be sure of our salvation." One of the best verses, in my opinion, for assurance of salvation is Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. It reads, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Rahab was promised that her family would be safe. They were told that if they were to stay in their home during the siege, they would be granted safety and protection. But if they were to leave the house, this was not guaranteed. So there was more faith put on Rahab and her family. If they didn't listen to this and believe it, then they would be killed. They were also promised protection under God and His power. If any man of Israel were to violate this oath, they would be put to death, and they would be accursed by God. William Carey once said, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." We know God is true and perfect. This is, in essence, what He is made of. God's promises always come true, and we can trust Him at all times. And I like this passage in the Christian Standard Bible, Joshua chapter 21, verse 45. It reads, "None of the good promises of the Lord that He had made to the house of Israel ever failed. Everything was fulfilled." So God and his promises always come true. So we can trust him with our faith and belief. And now if you will, turn with me to chapter 6, and we'll see the conclusion of this narrative. Chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. It reads, Joshua said to the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all she hath, as he swore unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all she had, and they were brought out, and her kindred left them without the camp of Israel. So Rahab had seen the promise of God come true, and her physical salvation came into effect. Like Rahab was rescued physically, we can be rescued spiritually from our sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 tell us how we were dead in our sin and God rescued us. It reads, And he hath quickened us. Now quickened means made alive. So he made us alive who were dead in our trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit now that worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had our conversation in the times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and you were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So we were just like the world, but God made us alive. But God, who is rich in mercy, and his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, he quickened us. He made us alive with Christ. By grace are ye saved. So we see how Rahab had the promise confirmed to her. The city was taken, and the men kept the vow, and her and all of her family and their possessions were saved and brought to the camp. But not only was she saved physically, God blessed her. He spared her family, and he provided her a husband of the line of Judah. And eventually, she ended up being in the lineage of Jesus Christ and all the kings of Israel. She's even mentioned in the Hall of Faith, of Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11:31 reads, By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So faith was a characteristic of her that led to all of this. Charles Spurgeon once told of an evening when he was riding home after a heavy day's work. He felt weary and depressed, but suddenly, like a bolt of lightning, 2 Corinthians 12:9 struck him. It reads, My grace is sufficient for thee. He said, I sure would think so. And then he thought, Imagine a fish in the ocean thinking, There's not enough water for me. Or imagine a mouse in a grain elevator thinking, I'm going to starve even though there's a full grain elevator there. Or imagine us, we go outside and think, Oh, there's no air. God's grace is like that. His grace is sufficient. It's infinite. And it's all at the access to us. They say a little faith will bring our souls to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to us. So like 2 Corinthians says, God's grace is sufficient for us, and we can live in his will and experience his blessings in our life. So from this story, we can see how anyone can be saved. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you will do. God loves you, ultimately, and he can still save you. Like Rahab, we need to ask for salvation, believe and be saved, and trust God in his promises, and we will be rescued by God's love and his mercy. And then finally, we will be able to act on what we believe, demonstrating where we are with our hearts to the Lord. Now, a lot of people get action confused because they like to associate works with salvation. Now, works are a part of our sanctification. There are three tenses of salvation. We have our justification, sanctification, and our glorification. Justification is the initial act of when we are saved. Sanctification is living in our daily lives a Christ-like manner. Now, not all of us are living in a sanctified life because we're all human. None of us are perfect. And then glorification is when we ultimately are raptured or we die and we receive our glorified bodies in heaven. So works are part of our sanctification in our living in our Christ-like life. Like Jonathan Edwards said, there's no part we have in our salvation, not our works, not anything else, except believing. But the only thing we add to our salvation is the sin that makes it necessary. So the gospel summed up would be, you need to believe that the sin of Adam has carried to us like a disease. His sin, as well as our own, keeps us from fellowship with God in heaven. God, in his love, sent down his Son, Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man, to pay the debt of our sin. In this sacrificial death of Christ, the wrath of God was satisfied, and he nullified the debt of sin to anyone who believes in Christ alone as our Redeemer. So I hope this was encouraging to see God's grace and his love and care towards Rahab, and how we can see his grace is sufficient for us at all times. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I do thank you for this story of Rahab and the example of faith she was, and how we can see how you love us, even though we were still sinners. You make us alive through Christ. I do ask you go before us and bless us through this week. Help us to live sanctified lives in honor and serve you, being a light and witness to others. In your name I pray. Amen.